Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
The scripture I want to refer to tonight is found in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 8. And it reads like this. Should come up on the screen. There we go. Isn't that good to hear that word finally? Especially in someone's preaching. But don't fear, it means nothing with me. Amen. Finally, brethren, or finally, you know, folks. Whatever things are true, who believes it's good to know truth? So whatever things are truth, whatever things are, there's a good word. Indian. I just got to find out what it is because I'm very confused. Whatever things are noble. It's there. It's true. Whatever things are just. Just. Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, now my sermon's stuffed up. If anything praiseworthy, meditate on these. Then we go down to verse 11. It says this, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learnt in whatever state I am to be. What does it say? Not that I speak in regard of need. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Not that I speak of need because, man, I've learnt in every situation or every state I am to be content. Verse 12, I know how to be abased. Get along in humble means. I know how to abound where everything's just flowing in. Who has that? You kind of, man, you go through struggle and then you have everything. Yeah. Then you go through struggle and then you, and Paul says, man, I've been there. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. So it's not just speaking about a certain aspect of his life. He says, I know how to abound here and I know how to abound there and I know how to kind of be a base. I know what it's like to suffer need. But he says this, I love this verse. Everywhere in all things, listen, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But in verse 13, it says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't it good to look at in the context of what he's speaking about? He's speaking about, I know what it's like to, man, to flourish, and I know what it's like to struggle. But he says, in all things, I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We just don't need a sunny day to shine. All we need is to know the love of God within our hearts, and that shines forth within our hearts in Jesus' name. So, tonight, I want to speak about how do we follow Jesus in a selfie-centered world. Sounds good. Hey, I love social media. Don't you? I've just sent a photo to someone. I'm in church and I sent it to them. And I think, oh, John's in church tonight. That's strange. So I love it. I kind of, you know, I love the value of social media. I love how it keeps me in contact with people all over the world and makes our big world much smaller. You can promote things. It's not a bad thing. But social media does have its downside. We understand that. Sometimes it has its negative consequences. Social media can be a promoter of discontent and sometimes a promoter of envy. So what I want to speak tonight is, in the world we're living in, with every kind of aspect of social media, how do you kind of make it work, and how do you kind of keep yourself out of the downside of the consequences of it? You know, we see people's posts on social media. Be honest with you, I've never seen a bad hair day on Facebook. We look perfect. Even myself, when I kind of want to do a photo, I kind of make sure everything's sticking down and those kind of things. And on social media, what happens is you put your best out there. You put your filtered image out there. Yeah, and sometimes we kind of look at it and you just think, oh man, I feel like a loser. We see people at their best and we know ourselves at our worst, at our worst, at our worst. Is that true? But the Apostle Paul says, he says, I've learned to be content. There were two mums chatting. One was a working mum. And she was saying to this other mum, who was a stay-at-home mum, she says, I hate you. She says, I see your social media, how you're spending time for your kids, and you're doing all sorts of things with your kids during the day, taking them to the park, you're doing kind of, you know, playing with them in front of TV and that kind of stuff. And she just says, you know, I feel so guilty. That was the working mum. The stay-at-home mum says, I hate you. You have the life. You're out in public and you're doing things. I haven't had my hair done for a couple of years. I'm sick of talking about this. I really haven't had a decent conversation with anyone, any adult, for about 5 years. And she says, I just really envy you. Two people comparing and longing for what each other has. It's interesting how our world really doesn't help us to live content lives. Are you hearing me tonight? You see someone out on a date, and you're single. And you're saying, oh man, wish I could get a date. Or you see someone at the gym and they're kind of flexing your muscles and that kind of stuff, and you kind of think, I'm too embarrassed to go to the gym. You know, as a kid, you know, growing up, a little bit older now, but as a kid growing up, we didn't have this kind of stuff called social media and iPhones and iPads and all those kinds of stuff. So we just had to work out, are we popular or not popular? It was kind of a little bit easier then. But today you can measure how popular you are. Have you noticed that? You measure it, you look at it and you say, she's got 287 followers and I've got 50. My photo got 2 likes. There's got 20 likes. Who looks at that stuff? I do. You don't? Nope. Yeah, you're lying to me. Come on. Come on. If we want to help each other tonight, you've got to get on the same page as me. And what we can do if we keep going down this track, we can surmise that everybody's life is good, but mine is not so good. My life is boring. Everybody else's life is boring. Sometimes I'm sitting home and I'm going through Facebook or some other social media. They're enjoying themselves and I'm not. See, the more we compare, the less satisfied we are. So social media has its good points, but also it has its down points, because it puts us in a world of comparisons, which creates envy, and we just kind of think, man, I've got the bad slice of life and they've got the good slice of life. But when they're looking at you, they're thinking the same thing. They did a survey in 2 universities, and for 30 minutes they asked people to go on Facebook, and the students just scrolled down through their Facebook, and after 30 minutes they were mildly depressed, citing envy as the number one emotion. Because what they were seeing is, they were seeing themselves in a classroom and they were seeing their other friends out doing other stuff that wasn't in their situation. You see, discontent comes from the more we compare ourselves, the more discontent we become. Just want to give you three things. Number one, listen to this. Material or financial discontent. You know what annoys me? It's not your problem, it's mine. Okay, so it's John giving a testimony here. Someone puts their new car up on a post. And you really want to be happy for them. But you're jealous because you want that car. Come on. If you want to be set free tonight from discontent, come on, follow me. Or you see someone post, you know, their new TV up on their social media, and you just kind of think, my TV was fine till I saw that. Or you walk down the road and someone's advertising something. You say, man, I was okay till I saw that. My 25-inch TV was fine till I saw your 75-inch. Well, then you see, you know, I like fishing. I can't catch fish, but I like it. And you see someone, your friends out catching fish, and they catch a big fish, and you just think, wish I could do that. Wish I could be out there enjoying myself, but I got to be in church. You never deal with that kind of stuff? Some people live, they're out having a meal and they take a photo of their meal. And it's beautiful, everything's steak and potatoes and it's just woo! And you're home having Vegemite sandwiches. You're okay before you saw that. I'm not criticizing people with their social media. I'm just talking about how this poor sucker responds to it. Yeah. Ladies, you're looking on your social media and you see someone that's taken a photo of their meal, but you don't see the meal, you see their new kitchen, and you just think, geez, I don't deserve that. Husband, overtime. I want a new kitchen. Get up and do some work. So we create kind of issues within our life. Or I'm at work. Now, I don't look at Facebook during my lunch hour. I'm flicking through it, and there's someone at the beach. It's not their fault that they're at the beach, but I wish I was there. Not with them, but I wish I was at the beach. Oh, you just... You're looking through your wardrobe and you're trying to find a pair of shoes to wear, and you just kind of flick on Instagram or something like that, and oh, there's a person wearing those shoes that you'd like to have. Man, you're okay before you saw it. Ah, it's an interesting world we kind of live in. And everybody said, it is true. You see, the more you see, the more discontent you are. When there's less variety and those kind of things in the world, the less things to see, it seemed like the more you were content. But, excuse me, Paul even had to deal with discontent. He says, I know how like a man to abound. He says, I know what it's like to go to struggleville. But he says, I've learned a secret. And I can't tell you tonight that you can come out the front and I can lay hands on you and say, be content in the name of Jesus. That may work for a minute, but when you get out of here, you've got to learn the secret of contentment within your life. Amen. Discontent causes me to look at what others have and then I become dissatisfied. Contentment invites me to look at God. And as I look at Him, I'm satisfied with what He provides. Regardless of my possessions, regardless of how many people follow me on Facebook or Instagram, I know that He is enough because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We all deal with the comparisons and the envies of life, and they're not something we can divorce ourselves from. There's things that we need to face up with and say, these are real, but man, I choose another way to think. I choose another way to live. Yeah. Number two, relational discontent. You see your friends out having fun. Guess what? they didn't invite you again. That really annoys me. Does it annoy you? And that's fine, hallelujah. Or you see someone with someone special and you just think, oh boy, I wish I had someone special in my life. You were happy until like you saw that. You see someone else spending time with the kids and you're working your tail off and to pay your bills and you just kind of think, man, I wish I just had time, you know, to spend with my kids and we're okay spending the time we do with our kids. But then you see that and it compares and it throws things out of whack again. You see someone for great marriage and you're just looking there, oh, why can't we be like that? You ever thought that? You're single? No. You see someone for great relationship and you just kind of, man, it's good to look at a good marriage and be inspired by it, but it shouldn't fill our heart with envy. Become envious of someone else's relational status. As I say time to time, well, only for the last couple of months, I've been married for 39 years. Actually, it's only a month ago, it's 39 years, so I've only said it for a month. But as a young person, I didn't develop contentment in my heart when I was single. So I brought discontentment into my marriage. Do you know that what happened? That when I had kids, I brought discontentment into my parenting? You say, John, you need counseling. Do you know what happened when I became a pastor? I brought discontentment into my pastoring. And I just want to say this, and I'm trying to be nice tonight, but I want to get the message across, especially single people. To think that discontentment is going to go away when you get married? No. If you're discontent single, you've got big troubles. Because you're going to take that wherever you go. Oh, I thought when I got married, everything's going to be right. It'll be right for a couple of days. Am I against marriage? No, I'm pro-marriage. I'm trying to get across to you. You've got to find contentment at the level you're at in Jesus' name. You've got to know it within your heart because it begins to follow you wherever you go. We need God's grace to find contentment in the world that we are at now. And you might say, oh man, I'm so discontent and I've got married and I'm still discontent. I want to encourage you. Hey, it's not all over. Just stop for a while and say, God, I want to learn the secret of being content within my life.
Thank you for listening to part one of this message.